Hey friends, welcome to The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. I'm your host, Andrea Fortenberry. This is a podcast about finding freedom from perfectionism to show up for the life God has for you. Mom life is messy, unpredictable, and just plain hard sometimes, but it's also amazing. I believe God uses it all to grow us into the women He wants us to be. We can't do motherhood on our own. We need God's help. We need wisdom from other moms. We need the encouragement of community. I hope you'll find all of that and more as you listen in. Welcome to episode 95 of The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. Today I'm chatting with my friend Megan Wright. Megan was born and raised in Virginia, lived in Arizona for 15 years, and now she lives on her forever farm in North Carolina, but she says her hair thinks it's from Texas. She has a beautifully crazy blended family that includes two daughters, a stepson, and her husband. Megan loves leading worship, anything pink, and she's a wannabe farmer who spends much of her free time with her three horses, two ponies, donkey, five goats, two pigs, five dogs, and too many barn cats. You should definitely follow her on Instagram where she shares all about her animals and about Jesus. Megan, you're laughing. Welcome to the podcast, Red.
So I'm also laughing because since that, I now have another pig that we inherited from a neighbor who moved. And she's like, I can't find anybody to take my pig, but I know you'll take her. I'm like, I love my reputation. So we have three pigs, but she's not indoor like the two boys. She's outside because that girl's on a diet. She's fat. So she couldn't walk up the stairs if she tried.
Oh, so oh my gosh. Well, and Megan, I remember when you moved from Arizona to North Carolina, I just got the biggest kick out of following your journey online, taking all of these animals. And how didn't your pig get sick in your car and your purse?
Like, oh my gosh, I was just telling this story a couple Sundays ago where we did have like this huge caravan. I had four of my best friends drive out with me across the country. I had my travel trailer, I had all of my animals, and the two pigs were in the car with me, and I had given them travel gummies for dogs, and they got violently sick and they puked all in my designer handbag and my designer wallet, and all the little creases in there just had pig vomit in it. I felt so bad for those pigs. Don't ever give pigs dog calming gummies. They do not work.
I didn't feel bad for the pigs. I felt bad for you and for your friends who were helping you clean it up.
All over my purse. Looking back, it was hysterical, but I'm like, how am I going to clean that out? That is disgusting.
So did you keep the purse or did you have to chuck it?
No, I chucked it. I tried to keep the wallet, and I did just because it's a beautiful wallet, but I don't use it because it's not great. It's not great.
Oh my goodness. I love it so much. So for anything else, follow Megan. Again, she talks about Jesus and about her animals. So it's amazing.
It's true. Oh my gosh. It's true.
Well, friend, you have been busy. It's been so fun for me to see you now have 8 YouVersion devotional plans out on the app, which is so awesome. And it's super fun. We were chatting before we started recording. We've been friends for a while and just have had these messages and creative pursuits that God has given us. So it's fun to journey and see what God is doing.
I love that so much. When we first met, we were doing Bible study together and just kind of starting out that journey of, okay, what does God have for me? I know that He's put us on this journey and given us this call, but what does that even look like? And to now for us kind of doing this together and working through what God has for us now, it just looks so different. But looking back and how those things have come to fruition for us is just so neat. I just think it's just so amazing how God does that.
Absolutely. I love it so much. And the things that you've been writing about, I love how these topics just speak so directly to our struggles as women. So you've written about insecurity, dangerous thoughts, obedience, releasing control. And then your latest YouVersion plan is about living a life full of faith, which I just love and I'm excited to hear you encourage listeners. So will you tell me, I'm one of those behind the scenes persons. So what drew you to write about these particular topics?
That's so funny. And it's funny because the answer is, it was my struggle that God wanted me to write about to then turn into my testimony to help other people. So something that I struggled with my entire life was insecurity and who I was and who I wasn't, and the lies that I believed about who I was and wasn't. And so out of that, learning scripture and understanding what my identity in Christ is allowed me to really see the truth of who I am and what I was created for. And in that, I just became really passionate that there are so many women that struggle with insecurity, whether it's their physical insecurities about their body and what they consider beauty and what they consider, you know, being successful in, or if it's their calling. You know, they don't know what they were created for and they don't know how to be their best selves. To me, I feel like once you understand who God says that you are, and once you understand that you were created for His purpose to build the eternal kingdom, all the other things start to just fall into place. And so that was my first writing. And then out of that, all of the other ones are also things that I have been on the other side of at one point in my life. And God just really had to teach me how to break through those strongholds that I had. So, you know, releasing control with a root of identity issues, I struggled with control. I think like a lot of people do when they're trying to grasp for things out of roots of insecurity. And so once I understood who I was in Christ, then God said, okay, now let's work on the layers. And one of the layers was understanding what control is and how to break free from that. Another layer was understanding what boundaries are. I wrote a version about boundaries, and that has really been instrumental in a lot of my growth, because once I understood what boundaries were and how God created boundaries for us, that He even has given us boundaries that He respects, right? It's called free will and free choice, that God created us, but He gives us free will to do what we want and to be in alignment with scripture or not. So when I learned that if even God gives us the choice to follow Him or not, and allows us the decision-making process on our own, then who am I to think that I can control other things? And so, you know, understanding how boundaries work and being free from the chains of that. And then other things like waiting on God and what God's purpose in pain is, and understanding things like being offended. When you're rooted in insecurity, you get offended at a lot of things. And that's just because you just have so many fears. And so God then took me on a journey of understanding why I was being offended at so many people's things and their words and their actions and their lack of words and lack of actions. And so understanding what it means to really experience freedom from other people's opinions and words and thoughts just brings so much freedom. So really, it was a journey that God just said, hey, this is what I'm teaching you. And eventually you're going to teach it to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love what you said about the different layers, because I just see in my life and your life, for all of us, that that's how God works. Like, He'll help us in one area and we're like, okay, we got it. We have some freedom here. And it's like, oh, but this is connected to this as well. So let's work on this layer. And so it's so a beautiful unfolding of shedding some of those things that hold us back.
It's so true. I think that if He just dumped it all on us all at once, we would reject it because it would just be so much, right? But as we dive deeper, as we draw near to Him, as we learn and seek more of Him, then we become less of us. And that's the goal, is to, you know, be righteous people for the kingdom. And in that, it's these step by steps that allow us to have these deeper revelations. But I think that if I were to just dive in it and then God was like, here's where's all your mess? I would have been like, see ya.
Right. He doesn't ask us to jump into the deep end. It's like, okay, no. Let's start in the shallow.
He's like, let's do one thing at a time. Let's go right. around this mountain one step at a time and we'll deal with it accordingly.
Right. He's very good that way. Grateful.
He's a very
that.
Gracious God. Yeah.
So grateful for that. Well, like I mentioned, your latest YouVersion plan is about living a life full of faith. So I would love for you to share, how can we do that in our mothering? How can we be moms who are full of faith?
So I am in a different season of mothering right now. I have a 19-year-old daughter who is living out on her own 2 hours from me, which is just so hard. I have an 18-year-old who still lives in Arizona, and my stepson is living his own life there in Arizona. And then I have a 16-year-old who still lives at home with me, but wants to be somewhere else just because she's 16. And so, you know, I always used to say I would never speak on two topics, parenting and marriage, because my gosh, they're so hard. But what God has really shown me in this season is that He is the Holy Spirit and I am not. And being full in your faith is also understanding that God gives free will to my children just as much as He gives it to me. And so when I'm full of the Holy Spirit, that gives Him opportunities to show His Holy Spirit to my children. There were a couple of times when my oldest daughter was 17, where she was going through some really challenging things. And she was also being a teenager. And so we had some really hard moments. And we had just moved here to North Carolina. This was 3 years ago. And I just remember in a moment with God of, I planted the seeds. I read them the Bible every night. I prayed with them every day. I had them in the right environments. I made sure that they were in church every week and, you know, in every youth meeting that I could possibly find for my kids. And yet here I am with my daughter going in a different direction, God, and she has so much anger and she's so just frustrated with life. And I remember God saying to me very clearly that you are the only opportunity right now for her to hear and see the Holy Spirit. So be full of it and let me do the rest. And so that kind of goes in line with us understanding that God gives us boundaries and He gives our children boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I think there are so many things out there that really have this expectation that if you do all of these things, if they take the proverb about training a child up in the way that they should go when they're not old, they won't, or when they're old, they won't depart from it. I think that people take that as a promise. And I think that that's not a promise. You know, one thing that my seminary professor really shared that really hit me deeply in this season was that I planted the seeds and God will water those, but it's up to my daughter to really want that harvest. And the only thing that I can control is how I shall show her the Holy Spirit. And so for me, being full of faith isn't that everything is going to turn out perfectly for the glory of God, because it's not. Because I look at my life as a child and I think, number one, I'm so sorry for my parents because I was awful. Number two, all of those decisions that I made, even after I had accepted Christ as a 10-year-old child, I had such a horrible path as a teenager and in my early 20s where I wasn't bringing any glory and honor to God. But in those moments, my parents still loved me and they still wanted to make sure that I had the best of what God wanted. And I just rejected that. And I still think back in those moments of, you know, those hard times with my oldest daughter. And I think if I would have lost my cool and said things that were at the tip of my tongue because I was angry, it really could have gone disastrously. And yet, because I was so rooted in my faith, knowing that God can redeem all things, mm-hmm. knowing that God chases after the one in the midst of the 99, knowing that God created my daughter on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose, and understanding that God designed my daughter in my womb, knowing that I was the best mom for her in creation, that I was going to allow him to do the dirty work, and that I was just going to be full of faith, knowing that God can restore.
Yeah, no, I love that, Megan. That's so powerful. And again, it relates to all the different things you were talking about. I think we have that choice of like fear or faith in, you know, in our mothering, and how when we don't rely on like ourselves or our security, but we instead rely on the Lord and the Holy Spirit to do the work, we can then release some of the control, and just what you said, have the boundary of, I can only control me. I can't control my child, whether they are 3 years old throwing a fit on the floor, or they're 19 or they're 30, right? Like, it, I think it doesn't applies. Matter.
Right. Yeah. It's the same. You know, I think that I used to think, gosh, if I do all these things right, my child is going to be perfect. But who's perfect? Nobody. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Our kids aren't perfect. Jesus is perfect, and that's it. And so why would I expect my daughter's life to be perfect? Because that's not what God says that our life will be. And so when you release the control of that, there is a freedom, knowing that, you know what, she's going to make her decisions, whatever they may be. I can't control those, but I can control me. I can control how I show up for her. I can control what my responses are, not my reactions, my responses, because those are intentional. And I can be the one that is continually intentional about pointing things back to Christ.
So good. Yeah. So good. Megan, what are some thoughts about what do we do in those moments when our fears are seeming more powerful, or again, we find ourselves reacting in a way that is not being full of faith? What can we do?
So I think I'm a big person on root issues, not like hair roots, but like, what are your roots of your issues, right? And a lot of those do go back to those fears of abandonment, those fears of rejection, those insecurities. And so in those moments where you feel like things are out of control and you don't know what to do, the best thing to always do is to open your Bible, get out of your head, and open your Bible, and know that whatever you're feeling may not be truth, but God's word is. Whatever the circumstance is may not be truth, but God's word is. And so when we clear those things out that are affecting our reactions, and we replace those with God's word, in understanding what God says, and the peace that transcends understanding, then we can just take a moment and say, okay, I may not understand, but it's not up for me to understand. My rest is in the Lord. Matter of fact, in Hebrews, God says that his true rest only comes when we fully believe. And so in order to experience the true rest of God, we have to enable ourselves to activate full faith. And so for me, I feel like my life is chaotic enough with everything that I've got going on. And I want the most opportunity for God's rest and his peace. And in order to sit and dwell within those things, then my mind has to be dwelling on his word. And so in every circumstance, God says, if there is anything good, anything pleasing, focus on that.
So good. Yeah. It's just that retraining of our minds. And it's a practice, right? Like, we don't always get it right. But I feel like the more we do it, the more we step toward that, the more it can become our habit.
Yes. And matter of fact, Romans 12:2 talks about not being conformed to this world, but renewing our mind. So in the text, that's actually a continual action. It is not something that says that we do it once and then it is. It's something that we have to continue to do over and over again. So just like we pick up our phone and we scroll on social media, we have to renew our minds. Just like we sit down and watch Netflix, we have to sit down and renew our minds, right? So in every habit that we have to be intentional about being consistent in the things that God says helps to transform our minds.
So good. Yeah, I love that. You shared a couple, but do you have any other favorite Bible verses that you want to share with listeners that can help us overcome the fear and turn it into faith instead?
Yes, absolutely. So one of my life chapters, because, you know, I'm crazy and I need more than one verse, is Ephesians 6. And it really talks about putting on the armor of God. But I think there's something in there that is really key to understanding what that means. And so God talks about us understanding that what we fight in the world is not how we fight. The things that we fight in the world, in 2 Corinthians 10, he talks about walking in the flesh, being of this world, but fighting in the spiritual realm. And so if we understand that what we're fighting, meaning the things that we're struggling with, whether it's our parenting, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our job, whether it's control, whether it's dangerous thoughts, those things are not things that we fight in the world. We fight them spiritually. And God is actually referring to the armor of God when he talks about fighting. And in Ephesians 6, he says that the sword, the thing that we fight with, the only offensive weapon that God gives us is the word of God. And so if you think you're going into battle and you have your sword, the only thing that can actually cause damage and allow a victory really is a sword. God says the word is your sword. And so when you're going into battle, whether it's struggling with your thoughts, whether it's struggling with control, any of the things that we've talked about, God says the only way that you're going to have victory in that battle is to pick up the scripture and fight with the scripture. And so if your Bible is closed, you're not going to win the war.
Yeah. Mic drop right there.
And I'm done. And so in every single battle, I feel like that, you know, in my life, and I can think back to, you know, when my 19-year-old was 6 months and we were fighting within my first marriage, and it was a very abusive marriage. And in that moment, God gave me Ephesians 6 and it became my life chapter, because I feel like no matter what I was facing, I knew that the only thing that was going to bring peace and rest and victory was me being in my word, seeking who he is, because he says that when we seek him, there we'll find him.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some suggestions, Megan? How can busy moms make time to be in the word?
I love that question. And my answer is snarky, because I feel like we make time for the things that are important to us. And there's going to come a time in your life where your faith has got to be important to you. It has to be a priority for you. It has to be something where you work at it, just like you work at anything worth having that is good in life. If you want to be successful in your job, what do? You work at it. You spend time learning and getting certifications and growing and understanding how to be the best in your job. Well, why wouldn't you do that in your faith? If you want to be a good mom, you take time and study about the best safety things for your children and how to protect them. And if they're sick, you take them to the doctors. And if they are struggling emotionally, you try and find ways to help them the best that you can. Well, why wouldn't you do that with your faith? Right? If you're struggling in your marriage, you go and get counseling, you do a Bible study together, you spend time being intentional with each other to learn each other, to serve each other, and to encourage each other. I always say that being in a relationship with God is, number one, the most important relationship that you'll ever have. And number two, should be the most important relationship that you focus on every single day. if you have a best friend or a spouse, I mean, think about it. You take the time to learn who they are, what they like, what they don't like, the deepest desires that they have. You want to serve them. You want to show them that you love them. If you do that with your spouse or your friends or your family, why wouldn't you do that with God? Because that's the desire that God wants from you. He wants you to find out who he is and learn who he is and serve him and be sold out. And so my encouragement to every single woman that I will ever meet in my lifetime is that you're going to make time for the things that are a priority in your life. And whatever you're doing right now, shift your priorities, because that relationship with Jesus is the most important one you'll ever have. And so you can be busy, but look at your fruit from your busyness. If you look at your fruit from your spiritual relationships, it'll be in abundance if you're in the Word. If you look at the fruit that you're getting from all of your busy tasks, it's going to be moldy and go sour really quickly.
Yeah, good. Megan, that was good. Big sister. Big sister. Encouragement. I like it. Bossy, but true.
Nothing but saved.
Yes, I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you, friend. That's a great reminder for all of us. Yeah. And we need that sometimes in the mundane and the busyness of the day. You know what? We need someone to give us that little bit of
that little push.
Yeah, exactly. And just too, sometimes we have to think about what are we spending our time on? And when you look at your screen report on your phone, you know, you might be like, oh, I spend an hour on Instagram every day. I could give that some
great
of that time.
Great.
You know?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
You know, what is your return? You know, I think I ask that about so many things in my life. If I feel like they're time suckers, what's my return on investment? And look at that as your relationship with Christ. What's your return on investment? I mean, you're building a kingdom with lots of beautiful pink gems in your crown in heaven, or you're watching TV and there's not going to be much of anything in return.
Right. So good.
Listen, I'm not saying that don't watch TV, because I love TV. I'm just saying it's priorities.
Yeah. And I think too, to ask ourselves like, how much time am I spending watching TV versus how much time am I in the Word?
Right.
And am I consistent in watching TV, but not consistent with being in the Word? So
exactly.
that consistency is key. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, friend, do you have any suggestions on, you know, because your kids are older, but maybe just looking back, thinking back through the years, what are some simple ways that moms can teach their kids about faith in those different ages and stages?
Yes. So my kids always have tongue-in-cheek things to say now that they're older about how I was as a mom with my faith in Jesus. And so with them, I have this reputation that the kids always, as soon as I start to say something and point it to Christ, my kids are like, oh, here she goes again, pointing it to Jesus. Now, it's funny because it's true, but wherever you can, point them to Jesus. If there is something good, give glory and honor to Jesus. If there is something that you're wanting, give glory and honor to Jesus, knowing that he can provide. If there is something that they are struggling and hurting with, let them know that he is the most wonderful counselor. Everything is related to your walk with Christ. Everything. I never missed reading scriptures with my kids at night. They would have TV time, but they would have scripture time. I read them a Bible story every single night. We prayed throughout the day. We would pray for little things. We would pray for big things. We'd pray at meals. We'd pray in the car. We'd pray when the kids were sick. I remember Savannah, she used to vomit like projectile vomit all the time when she was little. She was so sick. And I just remember like covered in vomit so many times, just praying over her and praying with her. And you know, what's interesting, my oldest daughter, she struggles severely with anxiety and panic attacks. And just a couple of weeks ago, she called me and she was in the midst of like a back-to-back panic attack session. And she called me five times. I was on a work call. She called me five times and I called her right back. And she said, I'm having a panic attack. Would you just pray over me? And that doesn't come because it's something that she just thought, oh, maybe if she prayed over me, that calms, because she knew as a child that whatever happened, if she was in a scared moment, if she was in an anxiety attack, that the thing that calmed her down was just that routine of knowing that the one thing that mom was going to do was start praying. Mm-hmm. And so plant the seeds, just continue to plant the seeds and release control of you wanting to water them. God will water and he will bring the harvest.
I love that. Thank you, Megan. So good.
Yeah.
Well, friend, at the end of every episode, I like to ask some fun questions. I'm excited to hear your answers. So what are you reading, watching, or listening to these days?
Okay. So I am in full-time seminary. So I'm reading some incredibly boring things that I just am not going to spend time on because they're just way over my head. And I feel like, what am I even reading? I can't even tell you what I'm reading because it's so complicated. However, I do actually love, I have an hour in the evenings of like my downtime where it's just that dump session, right? Like you don't do anything. It's just watch something that's just not requiring a lot of thinking. And I love Masterpiece Classic or BritBox so much so that like some conversations I'll say, oh, you're so cheeky. My husband's like, don't do that. You're not British. For one moment, you're not cheeky. And
that's what, you know what happens to me? Cause I love all of that too. Like Downton Abbey, you know, yes. Call the Midwife, all of that. So when I watch those shows, my inner monologue starts to have a British accent.
So true. Oh my gosh. Literally. I was doing something and I was like, oh, bugger. And Tom was like, what are you even talking about? And I'm like, I can't help it. This is what I, what's coming in. So it's coming out. You know what I'm saying?
That's which is a good reminder going to what we back to what we were talking about earlier. We have to be careful what we're putting in because it comes out.
It's coming out at the most inopportune times where you don't even understand when your mouth opens and you spit something out like you're some kind of, you know, British private investigator. Like I don't even. So that's what I spend my 1 hour.
I love it. I love that. Okay. Next question. What is a favorite product, service, or practice that makes your life easier?
Okay. So I kept thinking about this question and I tried to come up with like some fun swipe up Amazon link thing. And I'm telling you, here's the best secret that I learned when the kids were little, and I'll do it until the day that I die. I have a housekeeper. And I know many people will probably say that, oh, that's so expensive. Here's the thing. It doesn't have to be. Like if you go and you get your nails done, you could have somebody come and clean your house once a month and get and scrub the toilet. Like for me, I feel like there's a lot of things that I'm going to give up if something happens to me before my housekeeper, because it saves me so much time. And so out of all the things that we spend our money on, I think that we can justify those things away, you know, going in and out to eat, going and getting coffee every day or going to the gym or, you know, all those things. I feel like some of the best money that I have spent in the time that I have been married has been on my housekeeper, because number one, I don't have to scrub a toilet and that's disgusting. Number two, I have so much time that gets to be mine because somebody else is doing that. And in the big scheme of things, it's not that expensive.
Yeah. We've had seasons where we've not had a housekeeper, and now I have once a month, a crew come in, there's five of them, and they get our whole house clean in an hour and a half. And it would take me all of that times, you know, it's like 10 hours for just me. So I agree.
Exactly.
And yeah. And it is an investment, but again, we talked earlier about like return on investment. And I feel like it's something for moms, if you are able to do it now, like work toward it. And I actually saw in my area, like on a Facebook group, that there's this cleaning team of single moms and they're like bathroom special. Like they'll just come clean your bathrooms if that's what you need. And so was like, that's amazing. Like just that alone, you know, so it doesn't have to be the whole house. It could be a room. Yeah. It could be something that is helpful. So yeah.
Exactly. Listen, I'm going to get rid of my nails. I'm going to get rid of my hairdo situations. I'm going to get rid of lots of my clothes before I ever get rid of my housekeeper. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Awesome. Next question. What is your best soul or self-care tip for moms?
Literally go out and put your phone down and go outside and lay on the grass and ground. I am not a voodoo type of person, but I do believe that God has created this earth with us in mind to center us and to keep us in balance. And when we are closed up in a house away from the sun on technology, we rob ourselves the ability to rejuvenate and regenerate ourselves. I also believe that it is a huge help in mental health. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there's so many studies about just going on a 30-minute walk every day. If it's not 30 minutes, then it's not 30 minutes. But at some point during your day, put down everything and just go out and literally just behold God's creation. I think that everywhere we go, God gives nod to mm-hmm. his creation and we miss it. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that I'm very intentional about every day. Now I live on a farm, so it's a lot easier for me to do that. And I totally get it. However, I think that God's creation isn't just on farms. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So put your phone down, get out. If you have kids, take your kids out and behold the glory of God.
I love that. Yeah, I think that's such great advice. I remember when my kids were really little and I was just in the house with them, like I was a full-time stay-at-home mom for several years and just like feeling cramped in our house. And when we went outside, even if it was just to the park around the corner or walk around the block, I was like, oh, the world is so much bigger than all this chaos yeah. that's happening in my house.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. When we didn't live on a farm, when the kids were little, we'd get on our bikes, we would take the kids, we'd go to the park, we'd bring the dogs, and we'd just lay on the ground and just hang out outside. It's just amazing how much it regenerates your cells, but just rejuvenates your soul.
Yeah, so good. Love that tip. Next question, what is God teaching you in this season?
Oh gosh, I truly believe that the one common thing that he has been teaching me since January 1, so I did a 30-day reading challenge by my professor to read the Bible in 30 days. And so that is intense. This is my third year doing it in January. And so you're in the Bible for 3 to 4 hours a day. And it's just a lot. And in January, to kind of set up the rhythm of my year, I do a fast. And so I really try and fast beginning of my year for the full year. And the one thing that God keeps showing me right now, since January 1, is the scripture where Jesus and the disciples are talking. And the disciples said, but God, you gave us the power. Why could we not cast that demon out like you said that we could? And Jesus says, because some things only come out with prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. And so in this season, I really feel like God continues to say there are some chains that will not be broken until the prayer and fasting is a continual mm-hmm. thing over and over and over and over and over again. And so that's really what he's teaching me right now, is that some things only break free with heavy prayer and fasting. And I think it's that deep longing that fasting provides for us when we're just reliant so much in him because we're hungry, where he says, okay, now that you're physically hungry, let's get you spiritually hungry. And that is really where I'm at right now in my journey, in kind of working through things. And not that I even thought that I needed to be there, so to speak. And yet God has called me there since January. And so in this season, I feel like God is saying to go deeper and understanding that a rhythm of fasting is incredibly important in your spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm. Love that. And it will be neat to see. We often don't get the answers or the results right away. It's a long game. So it will be neat to see what fruit God has come from.
It's so true.
Season. Yeah. Well, friend, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for sharing with our listeners. Where can they find you online and find your resources?
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I am honored to, number one, be your friend and to encourage you from the sidelines and knowing that you have been encouraging me in my journey as well. People can find me on Instagram at Megan Wright Speaks and my website at MeganWrightSpeaks.com and also in the same on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, I will link that in our show notes for listeners to find you. And again, thank you, friend. Love you.
I love you.
As we go, I want to remind you that you're doing an amazing job as a mom. No, you're not perfect. None of us are. There's no such thing. But you're showing up, you're learning from your mistakes, and you've got God on your side. He fills in the gaps of our imperfections, and we can trust Him. Keep going, my friends. You are doing good and meaningful work. I'll see you next time.